Friday, January 17th. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 and 11. Let us be on our guard while the promise of entering into his rest remains, that none of you seem to have failed. For in fact, we have received the good news just as our ancestors did. But the word that they heard did not profit them, for they were not united in faith with those who listened. For we who believed enter into that rest, just as he said, As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And yet his works were accomplished at the foundation of the world. For he has spoken somewhere about the seventh day in this manner, And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in the previously mentioned place, They shall not enter into my rest. Therefore let us strive to enter into that rest, so that no one may fall after the same example of disobedience. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul continues his exhortation to them not to be like the incredulous Jews and so to be excluded from the place of eternal rest. For in fact we have received the good news just as our ancestors did, that is, as the riches of the country of Canaan was told by Joshua and Caleb to the people, but they would not believe them, so the happiness of the kingdom of heaven has been preached by us to you, but the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed or received with faith. Let not this be your case. As the want of a firm faith was the cause of the punishment of the Israelites, of their privation of a promised inheritance, so Christians will be eternally excluded from the kingdom promised them unless they steadily believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason why so few profit of the word is because few take care to meditate on it, to digest it, and as it were to incorporate it with themselves by proper considerations. It is faith that opens heaven, but faith animated by charity, nourished by good works, and perfected by mortification of the senses. God only enters into his rest after the accomplishment of his works, and shall we to expect to enter before we accomplish what he has given us to do? Let us fear, but in hoping. Let us hope, but in laboring. Let us hasten, therefore, or as it is in the Greek, let us make it our endeavor, to gain that place of rest by our persevering in faith and good works, and take heed not to be excluded with the unbelievers. The Gospel from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, Child, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins? Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves, so he said, Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise, pick up your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, Rise, pick up your mat and go home. He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded, and glorified God, saying, We have never seen anything like this. Haydock Commentary. Such diligence ought to be used to bring sinners to Christ by means of the sacraments, as was used to procure for this man, through Christ, the health of his body. Our Lord is moved to show mercy to sinners by the faith and desires and prayers of others, for this man was not more helpless in his limbs than in his soul. From this example we are taught that in sickness, the sacraments and helps of the church, which are the medicines of the soul, should be called for in the first instance, for Christ first healed the sick man's soul before he removed his bodily infirmity. We also learn that many diseases originate in sin, and that we are to remove the effect by removing the cause. Jesus Christ here proves that himself as man and not as God only hath power to forgive sins, by this, that he was able to do miracles and make the sick man suddenly rise. So the apostles and their successors, though they be not God, may in like manner have authority from God to remit sins, not as God, but as God's ministers, and acting in his name, and vested with his delegated authority. The power which the Son of Man hath to remit sins on earth was never taken from him, but is perpetuated in his sacraments and ministers, by whom he still remitteth sins in the church, and not in heaven only. Relative to sin, there is one court of conscience on earth and another in heaven, and the judgment of heaven followeth and approveth this on earth, as is plain by the words of our Savior to Peter first and then to all the apostles, Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven. Whereupon St. Jerome says that priests having the keys of the kingdom of heaven judge in some manner before the day of judgment. This paralytic is not the same as that mentioned in St. John, for that distressed man had no one to assist him, whereas this person had four. The former was by the side of the Probatica, but the latter in a house at Capernaum.